The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite. This month, Urbanite explores the city's contemporary art scene and the prospects for leveraging this cultural energy into a force for broader community change. Urbanite is available at over 800 locations. Visit www.urbanitebaltimore.com for a complete list of pickup locations. I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We're about to take another journey from the holler to the hood, the hood to the holler. Urban Appalachia is alive at the Creative Alliance. 1,000 Kites is coming to Baltimore. They're here. They're in the studio. And we'll continue our conversation about the creative unity that exists between black and Appalachian worlds, urban and Appalachian worlds, and what that all means and why they're here. And why, one more time, Creative Alliance is kind of at the cutting edge of where all this is going on creatively and politically and socially in our world. We're joined in studio now by Louis Sabieri, who is from the Creative Alliance Program Director. Is that your name?
I'm the Community Programs Coordinator.
Fine. Thanks. We'll leave it at that. Nick Zabella is with us, who is from 1,000 Kites.
That's right.
Along with Mia Frederick.
Thanks, Mark.
Good to have you all here. And in a minute, Bashi Rose, great actor, poet, who works in the prisons. We'll be in the studio as well, and some other folks in this project. Good to have you all. Welcome.
Thanks for having us, Mark. Great to be here.
Appreciate you.
So, Louisa, tell us a bit about this week and what's going on and why 1,000 Kites is here, and give us kind of an overview of what's happening.
Sure. Well, this is, as you mentioned, a part of a larger series that we're doing at the Creative Alliance called Urban Appalachia, which is really an exploration of how sort of these two seemingly very different worlds and cultures actually come together, and that there's a lot of overlap and blending and migrations historically that have happened between the mountains, our western neighbors, and Baltimore, and that are actually continuing now, these migrations happening with prisoners. So I heard about the 1,000 Kites project about 3 years ago. I was down in North Carolina with Alternate Roots and got to see their documentary screening up the ridge. And it just it blew my mind. It blew me away to realize I had sort of heard about what was going on in terms of building new prisons and using sort of prisons as a real economic impulse, particularly in rural areas. But I hadn't really heard any personal stories, and I think that's what really compelled me as a community arts practitioner to this work is. Seeing how those personal stories can really allow us to understand what's going on and wanting us to get to know each other better and eventually take some action and transform our own communities. So I wanted to bring these guys to Baltimore and hear about some of the great work that's going on in Maryland, like with Bashi, who we'll talk to soon. And when we talked about this Urban Appalachia project at Creative Alliance, I said, perfect. I know who to bring. We got to get these folks out here. And it feels really lucky that we're all sitting here in the studio now. So to answer your question, Mark, this week we are going to be screening that documentary Up the Ridge on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock at the Creative Alliance. It's free. And we're going to have Bashi also read some poetry from prisoners here in Hagerstown and Jessup in Maryland to let people really know what's going on closer to home here. So Wednesday will be fantastic. And also this week, the idea of the residency is that folks have an opportunity to sign up for some workshops and actually learn from the 1,000 Kites Project how they've been incredibly successful in terms of using community radio as a tool, using the internet as a tool to get the word out, get campaigns going, and really motivate and activate people to make change. So there's still some space available as well in those workshops, everything from grassroots campaigns, grassroots organizations able to do narrative campaigning, again, using the internet, There will also be a workshop specifically on using community radio called Making Waves, Wednesday through Friday. And on Saturday, we're doing a special Story Circles workshop with Roadside Theater that has been around for a long time, over 30 years with Apple Shop. And they have developed this methodology of how we can really listen to each other's stories and develop them in order to make media.
Roadside Theater, is that part of Thousand Kites?
Yeah, it's part of this is our theater part. There's a theater group involved with Thousand Kites.
Well, let's jump into Thousand Kites. I think that I'd like to have you all just explain the roots of this and what you all do. I mean, it's there's a lot going on here.
Sure. Kites is the word kites is prison slang to send a message. And back in the late 90s, we began getting a lot of kites from prisons in the Appalachia coalfield region where we're located. And if you know where Kentucky, Virginia, and Tennessee come together, we're right there in the mountains there. And these letters had come from prisoners who had been shipped in to prisons in our region. And the prisons had been built to really shore up our struggling coal economy. We had lost a lot of coal jobs in our region. And the solution for lost jobs was, well, why don't we build some prisons out here and get these people some jobs? And so that was what happened. We began getting prisoners from all over the country shipped in, from Washington, D.C., Connecticut, New Mexico, Hawaii, the Virgin Islands. And the prisoners were kind of at a loss because it's a very white region. It's very rural. The closest bus station is 3 hours. The closest plane station is 3 hours. So you're really kind of, you're isolated. You're out on an island. And they reached out to us, not because they thought we could do anything, but because we happened to be volunteers on our community radio station, WMMT, the Voice of the Hillbilly Nation. And we happened to play in a sea of bluegrass. We happened to play one of the few hip-hop shows. So, you know, they're just like looking for anything, reaching for anything. And they hear that we have a hip-hop show. Well, maybe these people can help. We like listening to them. And so, you know, we got the letters and we're like, you know, reading them. And this is about our own community that we're reading about some pretty severe human rights abuses, about people being tasered repeatedly, about people being beaten.
In the prisons.
In the prisons and in two supermax prisons specifically.
Are these federal prisons or these state prisons, prisons?
These are state prisons that actually it's a state private enterprise at Red Onion and Wallens Ridge State Prison. The community actually built the prison and bonded them. So they're a private entity, and then they rented them to the state. When you start to dig it, you start to flip the rock on this stuff, and I don't think we're special in our region. There's a lot of money behind prisons and prison siting and who we put in prisons and how we use them. But one of the first things we did through the radio is we started playing chess with these guys through the radio. So we were like, you know, why don't we play a game of chess? And so, you know, you send us a move in the mail, and then we'll read you the move back on the radio. And we had this little thing going, and these games would take 6-7 months to play. And we were just trying to break this idea of that these people are not humans. Let's get something going on that. And then one day we decided, why don't we organize a day, and we'll have all the prisoner families call in on that one day. And we'll just see what happens. And we did it around the holiday season. And, you know, some of the people in our community were angry we were doing this. So why are you doing something for those guys? They don't deserve it. And then on the day of that show, we got about 200 phone calls from all over the country.
I'm going to give a shout-out to my big brother, David Jones. Hold it down, baby. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get them funds and things situated so I can get at you. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. I love you, man. Keep your head up and get at me. Baby brother Jerusalem, man.
Yes, I'd like to wish my nephew William Ramsey at Walton Ridge a Merry Christmas. We love you, and we're all thinking about you, and we'll see you soon, buddy.
And one of the people in our community who had called in and said, you know, they didn't want us to do a show, actually ended up calling into that show and just, you know, saying, you know, I hear a lot of children. I hear a lot of people who are just trying to make it. These people deserve, you know, some connection with the outside world.
Hi, my name is Sylvia Malicott. I'm calling from Newport News, Virginia. And my son, Antonio Malicott, is in Wallens Ridge State Prison. And we just wanted to call and say, son, we wish you a Merry Christmas. I love you. I miss you. Holidays have not been the same since you've been away, but you know that our hearts are where you are. We look forward to the big dinners and the big Christmases we used to have when you come home again. We love him. We wish and pray every year for him to come home early. son, I love you, and I see your face in every Christmas tree. But I just want him to hold on to the happier memories that he has and know that we'll have some more. Son, I love you. For as long as God lets me be his mom, I'll be here. But I know there are a lot of the young men that don't get anything, and I just want them to know that somebody's thinking about them, too, even though I don't know them. I want them all to know that those mountains only separate you by distance. They don't separate you in spirit and in heart. And we do wait for you to come home again. And it won't ever really be home again until you're home in there, too.
I'd like to say, Daddy, we love you, Daddy. And Crystal says she loves you, too. Merry Christmas.
Love you.
And hope you get home soon. Take care, Dad. Please, don't forget that I love you.
This message goes out to my big brother, Jermaine. This is your lovable sister, Janelle, from Washington, D.C. I just want to let you know that I love you. Merry Christmas to you, to Terry O'Forey, and Sosa. Love you all. Keep your head up. To everybody who's locked up, that God loves you, we love you. And when everybody else is giving up on you, you still have people out here who do love you.
And so since then, we've just used media, arts, and culture to explore the issue in our own community, and to also to connect a national issue around the country.
I'd like to give a shout-out to Khalil in Wallens Ridge. It is your mother, son. And I just want to tell you how proud I am of you, my son. You are a soldier, and you are someone for others to emulate. So thank you for doing this bid like a man, like a strong black prince, because that is what you are. That is what you are to me. And remember that I said that this was the year of promise. Now, I'm not trying to make you have my faith, because you have to have your own faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you got to believe it. You've got to see it and visualize it every single day. You make me feel proud to be your mother, son. You make me feel proud to be your mother. Because you are behind those razor wires, because you are behind those steel gates and those steel doors that slam shut, does not mean that they can limit you in any way. There are no limits on that muscle that is your brain. There is no limit on your intellect. There is no limit to what you can accomplish. I love you so very much, and if God grants me the opportunity, I will ring this station again next Monday and send some love over the airways to you again. You be strong, young brother. You be strong, young brother, because what a man. What a man, what a man. I love you. Thanks, radio. I really appreciate it.
We just heard Mildred Jackson talking to her son through Thousand Kites. And now we are lucky to have the honor to have Mildred Jackson on the phone with us. Mildred, welcome. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you so very much. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Tell us, before you talk a bit about your son, tell us about how you got involved in a Thousand Kites and how that happened for you.
Well, my son told me that there was a radio station where I could call in on Monday nights and give a shout out, as he calls it.
Uh-huh.
And because I was having phone difficulties, it was a way for me to ensure that he could hear my voice on a weekly basis and try to give him some encouragement while he walks that journey that he is on. And so I guess I've been calling in now for, maybe about 3 years, I guess, somewhere around there. And it is an excellent forum. Every Monday when I call, when I end the conversation, I'm always thanking the radio station for giving those of us who have to deal with loved ones who are incarcerated
mm-hmm.
an opportunity to say some things to them that will encourage them and hopefully will encourage someone else. I'm always focusing my comments on my son, but I think they are encouraging enough that someone else could draw something from them. because these young men and women who have to walk in that wilderness need those of us who are on the outside to try to speak for them and try to keep them encouraged so they don't become institutionalized. Mm-hmm. That is the fear that I have, that you've been in prison for so long that you forget what it's like to use your mind, to exercise that muscle, to know that it is really you on the inside and not those bars and those wires and those razors that surround you that determine who you really are.
So your son was convicted.
Khalil.
Oh, we're here. Can you hear us?
She said, yes. Khalil.
Oh, yeah. Khalil. I'm sorry, you said Khalil. I picked that up. Sorry. So Khalil was arrested and convicted here in Baltimore?
Actually, no. He was arrested and convicted in Yorktown, Virginia.
Okay. And how did he end up in a prison in Appalachia?
I wish somebody could tell me that. And I mean that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, yeah.
I've learned that Virginia is much larger than I thought it was. And the drive from Hampton to Big Stone Gap, Virginia, is about 7.5-8 hours. And at 17, they placed him in this crazy place as an adult to serve out a 50-year sentence. And I won't get too deep into that.
It's okay.
But, you know, that's how he ended up in Appalachia, because they figured that he needed to be on 22 to 23 hours lockdown a day. And Wallens Ridge and up there in Big Stone Gap and Red Onion in Pound, which is where he originally was, is where they sent him, and he has been there for 10 years.
10 years, long time. So
yes.
What do you think has been the effect of your participation in A Thousand Kites and the radio messages to your son and what other men and women are, and how it affected them communicating with their loved ones inside?
Well, again, I have to say that it is a conduit through which we can let people know that we care about our children or our husbands or our wives that are incarcerated, because sometimes I think people get the impression that families aren't really behind these people, or that we are all the stereotypical, you know, you must all be from the ghetto or from the poorer side of town, and you have no education and you really don't know what's going on and you didn't raise your children well. And so this forum, for me, and I can only speak for me, allows me to remind my son. There's something that I say to him all the time, that he comes from strong stock, to remind him all the time that those four walls do not define who he is. And if they don't hear that regularly, if all you hear are what the COs say to you, or if all you hear is what the media says about inmates who are incarcerated, then you lose sight of who you are. So this forum that I get to call every Monday,
mm-hmm,
lets me say to him, don't get sucked in by that. Don't let someone else's vision of you color who you really are, you know, because you have to remember who you are and then be able to stand on that and move forward. And, you know, I saw him yesterday for Mother's Day, and of course someone will say I'm prejudiced because it is my son, but the man that he has evolved into, because he was a child when he was placed in that environment, the man that he has evolved into is not that typical prison mentality that they say that you have, that he has no hope, that he's become so institutionalized that he figures that is his life, because I tell him every day, that's not your life. Okay, that's where you are on this part of the journey in your wilderness, but that is not your life. And that's not what is the outcome of what's going to come from this. So, again, the Thousand Kites The Thousand Kites is something that just gives me personally such joy because, again, this is my way of communicating with him because he can't call me on the phone.
Milton Jackson, this has been wonderful. I appreciate you taking the time. I know that you have other things to do. You have to work, and it means a lot to us that you were able to participate today. And I really hope that in the course of all this that we'll get you back on the air with us and really kind of talk about this a great deal more and encourage other families as yours to kind of be involved in this.
I surely would look forward to that, and I thank you so very much, Nia and Nick. I thank you so very much, and I want to say while I'm on this forum that for those of us who have to walk this walk every day, it is so heartening for me. I get full that there are other people who say it's important that these people be heard and that their voices be heard and that the things that they want to say are out there so that people know we're not just this forgotten group of people that really don't matter, or that these people who are in prison are people who really don't matter. They are sons and daughters, some who may have done heinous crimes, but some who may be in there on a humbug, and you've just got to keep them encouraged and let them know, you know.
Well, Mildred, I have
think
to
this is the end.
I have
so
to say
thank you so very much.
Well, I want to thank you, Mildred. We've been listening to you for years, and the way the show works, we never really get to say anything to you, just because you call in and start talking to your son, but. For the years you've been calling in, we've always really appreciated listening to you, and I think when you speak, it's not just to your son. I think it's to a lot of listeners in the area, and it's to a lot of other people who are incarcerated who aren't getting calls, listening to your often very wise words. So it's wonderful to hear you, and it's nice to actually say hello.
Thank you, Nick. It's so nice to hear from you too. And as long as that is a forum for me. You know, I always started out with, well, son, it's Monday night, so it's your mom. So you know that it will be me calling in on Monday nights just to give that encouragement. And the fact that it will encourage someone else other than my son is just a blessing. And I have to attribute that to God using me as a vessel to give some encouragement to people because, you know, it's not easy. And for those who don't get to hear that warm voice from home or that mother's voice or to feel that hug, then that's my reasonable service. That's what I'm supposed to do. So, again, I thank you all for providing the forum through which I'm able to do that.
Mildred Jackson, thank you so much. We'll be talking very soon.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye, Mildred.
Bye-bye.
Take
bye-bye.
Care.
Bye-bye.
So, now, explain to us what this all has to do with what we're doing in Baltimore this week. And what y'all are doing here.
Wow. Well, so as Louisa was saying, and I think Nick has talked about a little bit, just the connections between Baltimore and Appalachia are deep and longstanding, and we're in a new era of migration between these two communities and also trying to build, I think what we're here for is to build communication capacity for Baltimore families, people in this area who are working on similar issues, facing similar challenges, and to really offer a week of experience that is going to build an individual's or an organization's capacity to communicate about these important issues.
In continuing this, I'm curious what you all have in store, though. I mean, how do you plan to create 1,000 Kites Baltimore? How's that going to work? And Basha, you involved in this as well?
Yes, I am.
So let's talk about how 1,000 Kites. Basha Rose is in the house now, and of course, Basha Rose is a wonderful playwright, actor, political and community activist, fighter for human rights and social justice in this town, and runs theater programs, helps run theater programs at both the prisons in Hagerstown and at Jessup.
Yes.
For the American Friends Service Committee, mm-hmm. and is in the studio with us as part of this 1,000 Kites. And we'll be a part of this 1,000 Kites celebration this week at Creative Alliance. What night are you doing your...
Wednesday.
That's when you're going to show Up the Ridge.
Up the Ridge.
Which is a documentary we'll talk about. Many of you will be reading poetry, which we'll hear some of today.
Right.
and we'll hear a little bit of the documentary in a few minutes. But let's talk about what you all are doing here with 1,000 Kites. What are you going to talk about? What's going to happen here in Baltimore?
Well, you know, we're going to use
Nick.
This the most affordable technology out there that everyone's got pretty close to them. It's in your pocket. It's your cell phone. And we're going to start with that, just like we worked with Mildred with her cell phone. And we've set up a toll-free line for anyone in Baltimore that they can call in a message to their loved one who's incarcerated. And we're going to get that message to them through radio. We're going to get it through them by getting CDs into the prison and played. And you can just call the toll-free line, and an answering machine will pick up 24/7. And you can just use your voice and speak directly to those inside the prison. And what we find is that connection, breaking down this barrier, using technology, using art, using our ability to express ourselves, pulling in some poets, bringing some poets in to like kind of break the silence, get everyone comfortable talking. And from that, that action, change begins to start to occur.
And so, Bashi, what are you going to do with this?
Well, what I'll be doing is I'll be presenting poetry written by incarcerated men, in particular men that I actually work with in Hagerstown Prison. They started a drama program in 2007, and since then they've been producing their own original works, and we've been producing their works on the outside. And we're going to be starting a drama program up in Jessup also. So I'll be reading some poetry by those brothers, you know, expressing their humanity, you know, such a harsh and inhumane environment.
Can you give us an example?
All right. I think this, you know, I'm going to devote this to Miss Mildred Jackson. And this is from a brother named Renard, who is in Hagerstown Prison. And this is from a collection of poetry that he's written entitled Shades, Celebrating the Women of Color. And this piece is called An Ode to the Women of Color. Oh, women of color, how I adore you. All the storms that you've weathered, what this world took you through. And you did it all with a smile on your face, exhibiting virtue, style, and grace. In the minds of many others, you instill fear. You are the mother of humanity, and faith you endear. With a spirit that's true and a heart that runs deep, you nurture our children, and their humanity you keep. You uplift with the gift to focus on God above all. For in the midst of trails, you show the most love. Oh, women of color, this ode is for you. Much splendor and honor is long overdue.
This came out of where you're working in Hagerstown.
Yes.
And how's this going to work with 1,000 Kites? I mean, what's going to be the setup? How's this going to work?
So we'll record a poem like that. We'll put it onto the website. So there'll be some interesting content on this website we're going to build this week, both kind of cultural, political people's stories. And then we're going to work with folks who are directly affected by the prison industrial complex here in Baltimore and get them with low-cost flip video cameras to record their own stories and to go out into the community on the street and record people's stories. And we'll put those up on the website. And then the website will also have a function that will allow people to take political action. It could be a letter to the editor, or it could be that the grassroots groups here have an issue that they want to push, and we can target councilmen or women, senators, and we'll be able to plug that in. And after we're gone, that will still be up there. And anyone who wants to use this platform to address the criminal justice system will have it available to them.
So these are the workshops you all going to be doing this week. This is what you're going to be teaching people how to do. Is that what you're going to be working on this week?
Monday through Friday at the Creative Alliance from 7 to 9. We will be...
At night,
putting video cameras in people's hands, putting radio in people's hands.
Yeah, we'll be doing video early in the week, and then Wednesday through Friday will be the radio piece, and we'll be, again... we'll be using as low cost and as accessible tools as possible.
So what people who are listening to us right now, I mean, they can call the numbers that we have here and we'll give them, and they can come to these workshops the rest of the week, especially if they have loved ones, people they care about who are inside prison. And this is a way of creating something so people can begin to communicate with the people they love and keep in contact with folks inside. So it's like a two-way street from inside out. for people to talk with one another in a way that's never happened before, using their radio, internet, cell phones from inside and out to talk to us. So if people come to the workshops, they're going to learn how to do this and help create this in Baltimore, right?
That's right. And one thing we found about the criminal justice issue is one time we brought together a group of people in the same way, and there were two women who had gone to the same church for 10 years, and they had known each other, and they both had sons at the same prison, and yet they had never talked about it. So there's a lot of silence around this issue. Mm-hmm. And for them to suddenly have that connection right. with someone else, and it was through art and culture, like someone reading poetry, it's making a space for us to talk about something that we're often shy or embarrassed to talk about.
So this is connecting people on the outside as well.
Right. That's right.
Who may have people, they don't know one another, but they all have people inside.
Yeah. There's 2.5 million people in our nation's prisons, so most of us are connected one way or another.
America with 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's prisoners.
Hmm. Yeah, and those prisoners need our support on the outside.
But now, Basha, you've done a lot of work creatively in prisons and in the communities. And I'm curious what you think of how this is going to work. How do you think, what effect, what's this going to do? What is this, with the work you all do, what do you think is really going to do for the men and women inside and for the families outside?
Well, hopefully, I think one of the major effects will be, again, that the brothers will get more support on the outside and that families will start communicating more. Because a lot of times when injustices do go down in the prisons, you know, outside voices are a lot of times the strongest voices, you know, that we, you know, have an opportunity to change things in there, you know, and to hopefully, you know, help get some of the brothers out who don't belong in there. So this is, you know, to me, this is a good force, you know, something to start that and get that going.
Because this is organizing families and supporters and friends on the outside to be able to stand up for the human rights of men and women on the inside.
That's right.
As well.
Exactly.
So I know you got to run in a minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can you do another poem or before
sure.
you go?
I'll do one by our brother Mike Perry. Shout out to him. He was moved from Hagerstown to Eastern Shore, you know, so. Building for tomorrow. If this is life, I'm not living it. Too much pain, sadness, alone. I just ain't feeling it. Bad choices, I made them. The debt, I'm paying it. Still, I find peace in the concrete and steel. Can't take my joy or my love because it's real. Real in the friends I see each day. Real in my family. They're here to stay. Real in the fact that hope is alive. Real because I know we finally arrived. The land of the free and home of the brave. Life behind bars, because I wouldn't behave. A statue called Liberty is a fraud to me. She's lying through her teeth, the land of poverty. Poverty of faith, hope, and love. Poverty and trust, and all of the above. Happiness found in a small child's smile. Happiness and freedom, though it took a while. Happiness in a hug, an embrace from a friend. Restoring life, renewing liberty, happiness, being a friend of a friend. And he threw friend of a friend in there. That's the name of the program with the American Friends Service Committee.
Oh.
And, of course, a friend of a friend was the code name for the Quakers who helped enslaved Africans during the Underground Railroad. So,
do me a favor, man.
Yes.
Before we move back to Nick and Mia and kind of round this out and kind of get people to really come participate this week and come tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and we'll talk a bit about that in a minute. Can you give us one more?
Sure.
I want people to get a flavor of the kind of stuff coming out from the inside.
Okay. Well, I happen to have another one by Mike Perry.
All right. The same brother we just heard?
Yes.
Okay.
Same brother. Show some love. The bang bang theory is prevalent today. Body count rising in shallow graves they lay. Countless young men, no sense of purpose. Rampant crime, totally remorseless. Hatred, mistrust, fences. Need to mend. Discuss, pontificate, elucidate on end. Idle words is all no one would bend. Missing the forest. To concern for the trees, strained at a gnat and swallow camel. Who has an ear to really listen? Truth be told, love is missing. Conscious, we say, our ancestors are weeping. Our demise is calling, tenuously creeping. Who has an ear to really listen? Truth be told, love is missing. Today's a new day, yes we can. With love as the foundation, we can heal the land.
You know, before I really let you run out, I got a roll, man, but I'm keeping you. The door's still shut here. But talk about how this is going to work tomorrow night. What are you all going to be doing tomorrow night at the Creative Lion starting at 7 o'clock? And how's this going to interact between you? Have Up on the Ridge. We're going to hear a little piece of that right now. That was a documentary from Up on the Ridge. And how is that going to interplay with what you all are doing? Talk about what's going to go on tomorrow night.
We're opening for that. And I won't only be reading. Mitchell Ferguson will be reading with me also. He's a co-founder
of No More Theater. Your partner in theatrical crime in Baltimore, right?
Yes.
No More Theater.
Yeah. No More Theater. Men of No More.
Yes. So basically, yeah, we'll be opening.
Yeah, we'll watch the documentary. But what's really important is that there's going to be grassroots activists, community activists from the Baltimore area that are going to be there. And they're going to share their stories about what's happening in the community. And we're going to break it up into a dialogue and a discussion after. So there'll be an award-winning documentary shown.
That you all did.
That we did.
And we were told, you know, you don't need to be talking about anything that goes on in this prison. You need to keep your mouth shut, not saying that.
I seen all these marks on them. You know, they were nine of them were hit on the stunt gun. And you can see they burnt right into his skin. Well, that's Larry. That's him. That's how you should go.
First time you ever been incarcerated at the age of 17, dead at the age of 20.
They don't need to be beaten. They don't need to be called niggers. This is not the mentality of a few guards. This is the mentality of some of the people in our government.
It's a badge of the Department of Corrections. And on the back it says, the ultimate bed and breakfast. State prison.
Well, the clip we just heard, tell us a little bit about the documentary.
Up the Ridge follows the story in Appalachia for over a five-year period of prisons being built, of prisoners being shipped into the region, and of human rights abuses occurring, and then how the community slowly starts to respond to those, and the effects it has both on the rural community, from our perspective, where we're from, and then the urban communities that we end up going to where the prisoners are from. And you start to get a sense of what does this prison system really look like and how does it affect people's lives. And the one exciting thing about Up the Ridge is this is where we brought together a traditional mountain musician, a banjo picker, with a hip-hop musician. And we made a form of music called hill-hop or hick-hop. If that's how you want to.
I like hill-hop better.
Hill-hop better, yes. Hick is a derogatory term for rural people.
I don't like it. Hill-hop is good, though. I like
it. It's that gangster rap version or something like that.
Right. It is. I mean, it's right. That sounds – I like that. And I like that hill-hop sound. It's a blend of of stock car racing and hanging on the corner.
Yeah.
They meet in one place.
Cloggers, Shape Note singers, and beatboxing at the Creative. If you
and
missed
breakdancing.
And breakdancing.
That was last Saturday
My
night.
God, if you missed that was urban, rural, comes to. I mean, that was something.
And that was, anyway, that's the spirit of what's going to be happening all this week.
Exactly. That's I can't fail to mention Dominique Stevenson from American Friends Service Committee. She's responsible for this drama program, her and Brother Eddie Conway. She'll be speaking as well.
So it's a chance, really, it's a chance to see some documentary and hear some good spoken word, but it's also a chance for us to have a dialogue about what's happening here in the city, and what people experience. And the way we roll is it's also important for people who are victims of crime to come and be present, for people who work in corrections. And our experience is every time we do a dialogue that there's people from all perspectives there. And it's nice to have a non-emotional discussion where we can kind of raise the bar. And I'll tell you that the people who push a lot for reform of the criminal justice system are people who work in it. Often those are the progressive voices, which is kind of starts to break a little stereotype there.
Yeah, I hope I start running into them.
Bosh Rose, thank you for being part of this today. You haven't met him yet?
No, not yet. Not, you know, now parts.
First you have to talk about them, then they appear.
Okay, okay.
They will appear.
Yeah.
They will appear. All right, this has been wonderful. Brashi, thanks for taking the time. I know you have a lot to do today. It's good that you're in the studio and get to be out there tomorrow night. So as we conclude here, Nick Zabirla and Mia Frederick from Thousand Kites. Brashi Rose was with us. He had to run out and finish whatever he was doing. And Louis Sabieri is back in the studio with us. So let's talk about, we know tomorrow night is going on. We want everybody to come down at 7 o'clock. But this will continue. Louis, you want to say something about how this is going to continue?
Sure. Well, we have the workshops going on throughout the week through Saturday at the Creative Alliance. And if you are interested, there is some space still available. You can call 410-276-1651 at the Creative Alliance to register or also to sign up for tomorrow night's screening. But the idea is that actually this Apple Shop, this residency with Thousand Kites Baltimore is creating a website, a forum, a telephone call-in line so that this work can continue beyond this week. The idea is that we're starting a platform that as long as people engage with, it will thrive, and we want to get as many people involved and connected as possible.
And if you want to call in right now a message of hope, a prayer, a song, and get your voice added to the mix to speak to those inside, the toll-free line is 877-410-4863. That's 877-410-4863. And you can speak directly to those inside our prison here. And even if you don't know anyone, you could still just send a message of hope in there.
And workshops through Friday.
Through Saturday.
Saturday.
Yep. Also a workshop on Saturday afternoon. That's the Story Circle workshop with family members and those directly affected.
All right, folks, this is great. All this will be on the Steiner Show website, and we'll lead you to all this information. And come out tomorrow night, participate in this. Let's build this in Baltimore so we can build a movement of people inside and outside those prison walls and create some change in this land of ours. And Louis Sabieri, I want to thank you and everybody at Creative Alliance for the work you always do in keeping this place creatively strong and bringing folks like Nick Zabirla and Mia Frederick. And you too, thank you so much for coming to Baltimore. I know you're, you know, this is I watched Louisa try to put this together on a wing and a prayer, and you all came anyway, so this is good. Thank you all for
coming. Come on
here.
Out to Appalachia.
I'm ready.
Welcome.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks so much. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gay Pinder, and Marianne Amos. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again and podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. For the 19th consecutive year, the Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News and World Report in their annual Best Hospital Survey. Find out more about the nation's top hospital at hopkinsmedicine.org.